What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. This is episode 14 of Mean Streets, the Oscar Robertson, Lenny Wilkins, Corey Maget episode. Always got to throw one random at you. Corey Maget, remember him? First-round bust out of Duke. Drafted him on a couple of my fantasy basketball squads. That's why I remember how much of a bust he was. Pete Rose, most hits of all time, 4,256. Not good enough to be in the hall, though. Unfortunately, he bet on baseball. Frowned upon. He bet on his team to win. Come on, let him in. You play to win the game. And he bet on his team to win. It's very difficult to explain to average baseball fans looking to learn a little bit more about the game of baseball. And to say Pete Rose, most hits of all time, not in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds, most home runs of all time, not in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens, third most strikeouts of all time, not in the Hall of Fame. I guess I kind of get Bonds and Clemens, although I really feel like they should be in, especially Bonds. But Pete Rose, he's got to go in, man. He's got to get in. It's a joke. On the ice, Brendan Shanahan, Theo Fleury, Dave Andrechuk, Jamie Benn all wore. Benn currently wearing 14 in the NHL. Fantasy hockey just around the corner. Just still don't know a start date yet in the NHL, but I basically have my rankings done. Sleepers, busts, breakouts, all of that stuff. Look for it very soon over at ftnfantasy.com. Little sneak peek. A breakout. Wore 14 last year in the NHL. Going to wear 14 again this year in the NHL for the Montreal Canadiens. I know, surprise, surprise for those who know me. But Nick Suzuki, I think he's warranted of the breakout tag. In the NFL, Stephon Diggs, Andy Dalton, and another average random person to bring up, like Corey Maget, but not really because he won something. Brad Johnson wore 14. Super Bowl winning Brad Johnson of the Bucks. Cortland Sutton also 14 in the NFL. And speaking of Cortland Sutton, brings me to this. Jerry Jeudy, his teammate of the Denver Broncos. Check this out. A mini signed helmet. Jerry Jeudy style. For you, not for me, for you. I purchased this from Pristine Auction to show my love for you guys. I appreciate all the words of encouragement. I appreciate you rating and reviewing and subscribing. So everybody that has already done so, your name is in this draw, and I'm taking the first 50 to show me that they've rated, reviewed, and subscribed to Mean Streets, preferably on iTunes. I know I've asked you before on YouTube. If you just watch on YouTube, I'll take that. Just show me that you've subscribed and send that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com and I'll put your name into a draw. So it's going to be a 1 in 50 chance to win this autograph signed mini Jerry Jeudy helmet. And if you do listen on iTunes, if that's your preferred platform to listen to, this is really where it's basically an iTunes giveaway. But if you don't listen to it on iTunes, I'll take the subscription over on YouTube. But if you are listening on iTunes, if you can just rate, review, give 5 stars, leave a line. Chris is a dink. Don't love the show. I just want the Jerry Jeudy helmet. I'll take that. No hard feelings. None at all. I will take that. Send it over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. You can see that it'll be in the tweet here that I, when I publish this show, you can reply there as well, showing me that you screenshot it. So again, just your favorite listening platform. But if you do listen on iTunes, head on over there, rate, review, subscribe, give the 5 stars, and send that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. You can DM me at Chris Meany or just reply on the Twitter thread as well. So taking the first 50, again, everybody who has already subscribed, I have your name. Your name will be put into that draw. If you're just stumbling across on this show and you've yet to rate, review, subscribe, do me a favor and I will do you a favor and put your name into this draw. And if you don't win, it's okay because I got another little something-something for you on a couple more, maybe a couple more weeks. I have another NFL giveaway for you. So please rate, review, and subscribe. And just need a handful more for the Allen Robinson giveaway if you haven't yet got in on that. That's not part of Mean Streets. It's part of FTN Fabcast. It's a waiver wire audio version. Football podcast with myself and Matthew Wood every Tuesday. And we only need actually 5 more people to subscribe. So if you want to get in on that draw, you can as well. Just the description. You could see if you're watching on YouTube or wherever it is that you're listening to this show, the link to FTN Fabcast is in the description. And if you just subscribe, rate, review the 5 stars, Meany's a dink, send that over. Either DM me at Chris Meany, reply on Twitter, or meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. So a couple free giveaways, Jerry Jeudy mini signed helmet and Allen Robinson mini signed helmet as well. So lots to get to on this show. Get some picks, some props, some DFS advice, some sleepers as well. We will start to turn the page as we're into week 11 of the NFL season. This is a multi-sport show. Not going to quickly get away from NFL. Probably going to get away from the season-long aspect soon and dive into the DFS side of things, because if you're already out of your season-long leagues, I want to help you guys win some cash and have something to watch on a Sunday and to play for. So I'm going to dive into a little bit more DFS. And next Thursday's American Thanksgiving. So not one, not two, but three NFL games to break down. They're not all marquee matchups. Every year the Detroit Lions have to play and they stink. And this year their opponent stinks even more than them, the Houston Texans. And then the Washington football team will have to play the Dallas Cowboys. Both of those teams very mediocre so far this year, but finishing strong on Thanksgiving with the Steelers and the Ravens. So going to break that all down from a DFS standpoint. Betting picks, going to have a couple FTN guests. My guy Stefano, it went perfect 4-for-4 in his free NFL mock draft that we talked about on this show last week. Won me a lot of money. I know he won a lot of people some money as well. The NBA early bird was 179 last week. Told you guys to get in on it. Basically got my money paid for right there, the 179 on just a couple of those props. He nailed the first four. I think one was 18-1. Yeah, that guy, dude knows what he's talking about when it comes to the NBA. Going to have him on this show very soon to break down all of the madness in the NBA, break down that NBA draft, start to turn the page, take a look at the NBA fantasy football or NBA fantasy basketball drafts that you're going to partake very, very soon with the season around the corner. And NBA free agency, just a very, like every year, very crazy. Average players are getting paid. Mama's and Papa's out there, tell your young bucks to pick up a basketball and dribble away, and lots of money to be made in the NBA, that's for sure. And I don't think that'll ever change, but going to dive into a lot of different sports here on this show, and a lot of just FTN minds going to start to appear on Mean Streets as we're 14 episodes deep already. So let's get into today's show. Let's start with some news, notes, and injuries before we get into some props. Not a lot different from the previous episode from Thursday. Alvin Kamara returned to practice on Friday, so he's going to suit up. Joe Mixon was actually placed on IR on Saturday, so you're going to be without him for the next 3 weeks at least. So another 3 weeks of Giovanni Bernard, which is positive, but also positive, I guess, if you own Giovanni Bernard, not so much if you own Joe Mixon. But also, I want to give a shout-out to Samaje Perine, who is starting to trend up a little bit in this offense. He's starting to steal a few touches away from Gio. I still like Gio. I have him ranked as a top 20 back. I don't think that Perine should be started anywhere, unless you're playing in a 25-team league. But Perine should be rostered anyways, because he would be next man up. If Gio went down this week, everybody's going to be spending their fab and using that high waiver wire priority on a guy like Samaje Perine. Even though the Bengals throw the football a ton, it's really their game plan to throw, but you just want to have these guys on your roster just in case. Next man up, I said this before, planning for fantasy football playoffs, if you're in a pinch and you're trying to win, it's probably not the pickup for you, but if you're comfortably in a spot, you can pick up Perine, and you know, if anything happened to Gio, he could be a top 20 back for you the rest of the way. I do really believe that, because he can catch a few balls out of the backfield as well. DeAndre Swift is the big bummer. Said on the last episode he's likely out, so he's officially been ruled out. I like Adrian Peterson more than Kerryon Johnson. I know that I feel like I should like Kerryon more. I think he's the better back. I think he has the higher ceiling, but it doesn't. None of that matters when you're dealing with Matt Patricia. Adrian Peterson has double the amount of red zone opportunities that Kerryon has. AP has been in this role before, and he's just a guy that's probably going to touch the ball 15 times in potentially a high-scoring game. He's not going to catch a lot of passes, but I think he's caught more than Kerryon this year, so AP is going to be ranked higher than Kerryon for me this week, but not a top 30 back. Borderline 30 for AP, borderline 40 for Kerryon. I just think AP is going to be the guy that gets those red zone opportunities, and that's very valuable in fantasy football. Matt Breida is going to return to the lineup for Miami. I still like Salvon Ahmad as a top 30 running back this week. I love the matchup against the Broncos. The Broncos have allowed the 10th most rushing yards this season. Rushing yards per game, that is. Jordan Howard's released. Miles Gaskin not ready to return. Ahmad had 20-plus carries last week and looked good, just over 80 rushing yards. And the offensive line has been playing really good there in Miami. The the offense is rolling and they're, you know, limiting the throws from Tua. They want to run the rock. I think Breida just takes that third down role as a pass catcher for Miami. So I would go ahead and assume that Ahmad gets 15 carries, 15 to 17 touches, and then Breida gets about 5 to 7, maybe a couple catches out of the backfield. I wouldn't be starting Matt Breida. I would be starting Ahmad over him. Sony Michel is getting activated off the IR. It looks like he could potentially be in the lineup. So that's 4 running backs. Way to poo-poo on my Damian Harris love. I still like Harris. I have him ranked as a top 20 back. If you missed the last episode, I really went into Damian Harris, how he's played 6 games this year and he has 3 100-yard games already. He's looked really good, and this is just a really good matchup for him. 3 times this season, 3 games in a row, he's had a run of at least 20 yards. The Texans have given up the most 20-yard runs in the season, the most 40-yard runs in the season, and they're allowing the most yards per carry on the year. So this is a good matchup for Harris. It's just now that Michel is sprinkled in a little bit, maybe takes 1 or 2 touches. But I think that they'll ride the hot hand from last week with Harris. Burkhead, Harris, these are guys I would start. Michel is a guy that I wouldn't start. And James White takes a bit of a backseat for me as well. I think you can run on Houston, and I think that's what the Pats will do this week. I just wanted to touch on a couple news and notes just like from bye week teams like Buffalo, the Giants, San Fran, Chicago, all on a bye. Moss may have been dropped. He's out-snapped Singletary in 3 straight games. I would pick him up if you could afford to. Singletary could potentially have been dropped. I would pick him up if you could afford to as well. Just to stash, if something happened to one of those guys, then you'd have a bell cow back. It's a good investment. The Giants, Wayne Gallman's been really good. I think he's going to continue to be decent down the stretch if he was dropped. And then really what I wanted to get to were these San Fran running backs and even wide receivers with Brandon Ayuk placed on COVID. It's possible, you know, in shallow leagues that people have just moved on. Raheem Mostert, pick him up now before it's too late and you got a bid on him. Tevin Coleman, same sort of deal. I think both of these guys will be back week 12. Hopefully your trade deadlines have already passed, but I think you can potentially buy low on Austin Eckler. It's just a couple weeks away from returning. Justin Jackson, David Johnson, Devonta Freeman, Miles Gaskin, all these guys are on IR. Over to wide receiver, Devonte Adams expected to play. Calvin Ridley questionable, but I think he's going to suit up. I saw some tape of him, some film of him running routes earlier this week, and he looked decent. I know there are some reports that the injury hasn't progressed as quickly as possible, or as at least the Falcons were hoping, but I think he's going to come back this week. And I kind of like him in DFS if he returns. Alan Lazard activated. Not sure how active he really is going to be. He's a really risky play this week, but just make sure he's rostered. He should be owned. Kenny Golladay, hip, and Danny Amendola. Both of these guys are ruled out. So Lions are missing a few bodies, aren't they? Which means they've activated Mohamed Sanu from the practice squad, but it really just means that Marvin Jones is going to probably get a lot of work. He's had touchdowns in 3 straight games. He's actually plus money to go over 4.5 catches. He's not part of my props, but wanted to give that one for free anyway, since you're paying attention. Marvin Jones, over 4.5 catches. It's probably just going to be the Jones and TJ Hawkinson show, right? Normally I'd say Swift because he's getting all these catches, but he's not going to be in the lineup. So maybe a couple grabs for Kerryon. Most likely not for AP, but those are the 3 guys right there, AP, Jones, and TJ Hawkinson, who get a bit of a boost because of the injuries to the Detroit Lions. I think Stafford will play, but he is questionable. Sammy Watkins looking like he was going to play, but now he's ruled out, and Mecole Hardman is activated from the COVID list. Could be a high-scoring game between the Chiefs and the Raiders. Hardman, I could understand playing as a flex in deeper leagues. Jack Doyle, return to practice, looks like he's going to play. That just makes me not like Trey Burton, because Doyle's there and Mo Alie-Cox. So tough to really trust Trey Burton. Teddy Bridgewater, knee, he's unlikely, but we still haven't heard word. I think the next man up is PJ Walker, XFL star. It's not great for anybody in this offense if it's not going to be Teddy Bridgewater. I do like Mike Davis this week. It probably just means a few dump-offs to Mike Davis. I like DJ Moore the best, probably just because he has the highest ceiling. But they're not using him like they're using Robbie Anderson. So it's all bad, to be honest. It's not great with PJ Walker under center. But I still would start Moore and Anderson if I own them. I have them as top 30 wide receivers. Drew Brees, obviously placed on IR. If you've been paying attention, and just came down before I jumped on is a report that he has 11 fractured ribs, so I don't think we'll see him for a long time. I thought it was going to be Jameis Winston, boys and girls. I really did. I don't think I was alone in thinking it was going to be Jameis Winston getting the start, but reportedly it's going to be Taysom Hill, even though Sean Payton has said he hasn't named a starter yet. I think he's just trolling all of us. I think Jameis Winston's going to get under center and play a little bit more than Taysom Hill, personally. I really do. I know that if you're a big fantasy football fan and you follow my work, you follow a lot of other people in the industry, and you've heard that Taysom Hill has tight end eligibility at, you know, in ESPN leagues. I'm sure you've heard that he's tight end eligible on FanDuel. I'm sure you've heard that he's going to be chalk and everybody wants to play him. I get it. I'll probably play him in maybe one lineup, but I'm not going to play a ton of Taysom Hill. I think he stinks. I don't think he's good at all. And I think that Sean Payton is probably just playing him to you know, Sean Payton loves him. You know, every time the Saints are inside the red zone, they use Taysom Hill. They always have these plays for him. I just don't think he's that great of a player. I know that Payton loves him, though. And I know he signed him to that the two-year, $20 million contract or whatever it was. And he's had 18 career passes. 18. He's 10 for 18, 55%, zero touchdowns, one interception. He's 4 for 5 this year for 86 yards. The thing is, I have him ranked as a top 20 quarterback. I'm not going to get too cute this week. I would actually play Carr over him. I would play Hill over Goff. I would play Hill over Alex Smith, but that one's close. Alex Smith leads the NFL in passing yards over the last 2 weeks, but I don't think he's going to have to chuck as much this week, and he doesn't really throw passing touchdowns, so that's kind of the thing with Smith. I'd play him over Stafford, and I would play him over Cousins because I think it's going to be the Dalvin Cook show there, but I wouldn't get too cute with this Taysom Hill. The thing is, he's going to run. I mean, 9 for 34 this year. He's got the rushing touchdown. I'm into his prop, another sneak peek of a prop. This one isn't in my 5 for later on in the show, but he's plus 310 to score anytime touchdown. That's a rushing touchdown. It's probably going to happen. I expected him to be involved. If Winston was named the starter, I would expect Hill to still be involved, especially to get inside the red zone, because he is involved when Breeze is under center. So he's going to be involved. But I just think he's going to struggle. And if Atlanta scores, that's it. I mean, if they got to throw the ball, they can sit there and say they're going to run with Kamara and Latavius and Hill all they want. But if Atlanta scores some points with Matt Ryan, Julio, and company, then they're going to have to make the switch, right? So I think it's a risky play in your season-long leagues, especially if you need a W. I would much rather go to a quarterback who I know is going to be there for the entire game with a bit of a rushing floor, whether that's Tannehill or Alex Smith can run around a little bit, not as much with, you know, coming off that injury. I'm just telling you right now, it's not for me. It's risky. By all means, if you're in one of those leagues where he's tight end eligible, play him. I think it's wrong, personally, that he is, but I don't think you can change it. You know, midweek, you can't change it anyways. Those leagues just, it is what it is over there in ESPN, but he's a quarterback to me. I know he lines up all over the field. He catches passes. He runs. He's a quarterback. He should be a quarterback. But if you're playing on FanDuel, I have no problem rolling him out as a tight end. If you're playing on DraftKings, he's not the play for me. Yeah, that's basically all I have to say about Taysom Hill. I'm a little bit bummed as a Michael Thomas owner. I don't have Michael Thomas ranked as a top 20 wide receiver this week. I think you could potentially have better options. In an 8-team and a 10-team league, I'd be looking at other options. I think it's very risky with potentially your fantasy football season on the line. I don't think this is good for anybody. I don't think he can throw the ball down the field. So maybe a few dump offs for Kamara, but I think it's going to be a lot of running. And, you know, we could get Jameis in there. It's possible. Other running backs, I want to give you a sneak peek. I got Gio as a top 15 running back this week. I got Ballage as a top 17 running back this week. I got Harris as a top 20, as I mentioned. I actually have Ahmad at 22 and Adrian Peterson at 28. So those are a couple of running backs that you may have some questions about. If there's somebody that I didn't get to, please leave a comment, a start or sit question in a YouTube page, and I'll get to it before kickoff on Sunday. Let's take a look at some of the props I have for the week as I bring up the board. I started off this week strong, which is good because I did not have a great prop week last week, but 4 for 5. On the Thursday episode, I got the Chase Edmonds under 9.5 carries. I got the Chase Edmonds over 19.5 receiving yards. And I got the Chase Edmonds over 2.5 catches. and as well as the Carlos Hyde over 10.5 receiving yards. I did not get the Kenyon Drake over 12.5 rushing attempts, but I would think I was one off from that one. So a little bit of a bad beat. What happened was Drake left that game. He got hurt, and I really thought it was going to be the Edmonds show, and I was like, oh no, I'm not going to get the under 9.5 Edmonds, and the over 12.5 Drake. Got one of the two. I'll take it. So back up for the prop board. Here it is for the week. I got Myers, my guy. No surprise here. Jacoby Myers. I jumped on this on Wednesday. I got this at minus 110. You're really going to have to lay some juice now. That's why you follow FTN Alert, so you can get the bet right away when we post it as a team. You'll get everybody's bets when they post it. Just a little alert comes out on Twitter, and you'll get the best odds possible right away. But for Myers, over the last 4 weeks, he ranks 7th in targets with 37, 6th in catches with 27, 3rd in yards at 346, and 5th in air yards over that span, 445. You can check out all the air yard leaders over at ftndaily.com. That's a free tool that we have. But over those 4 weeks, a league-high 61% of his team's air yards. That is absolutely nuts, over 60%. You don't even see guys over 50 for the entire season, but all of the work has been going through him, or going to him through the air, rather, a 38% target share over the last 4 weeks as well. So I like Myers over 4.5. This is a great matchup against the Texans. We still don't have guys like N'Keal Harry or Julian Edelman. And even if Harry does suit up, whenever he does come back, if he is active, I'm not too worried about it. Zeke over 2.5 receptions. There's a couple props I like with Zeke this week. I like the over 2.5 catches, so I'm going to like his over 15.5 receiving yards. He had 11 targets and 8 grabs in his one full game with Andy Dalton. And Dalton's going to return this week after the bye. Kalen Ballage over 12.5 rushing attempts. He has 33 carries and 137 rushing yards in his past two games. Both of those were losses, and he still was able to run the rock. This is a game where the Chargers are favored by 10 points. Forget the revenge narrative. It's always fun. Last week was a revenge spot. This week's a revenge spot against Adam Gase. You know, it's all fun and games. But they're 10-point favorites here. And Justin Jackson's not playing. Austin Eckler's not playing. Joshua Kelly can't run between the tackles. He hasn't shown us that he can run between the tackles. He's had one game where he's been efficient. Everything else has been pretty brutal from him. And he's been passed by Tremaine Pope, Justin Jackson, and Kalen Ballage, just the latest. So I think over 12.5 rushing attempts, I'm pretty sure that we're going to get there. Same thing with Gibson, 12.5 rushing attempts. Now, this isn't a number that he's always gotten, but this is a game that I think, you know, will be a little bit closer than the past couple weeks, where Alex Smith, leading the league in passing yards over the past couple weeks, has really had to chuck the football. He's had to throw, basically to two guys, Terry McLaurin, sprinkles in a little Logan Thomas inside the red zone, but mostly it's been Terry McLaurin and JD McKissick. McKissick is not that guy who's going to rack up a bunch of carries. He doesn't have a lot of work on the ground at all. He's got 15 and 14 targets over his past 2 weeks. So if Washington gets behind, it'll be a lot of JD McKissick. But I think this is a game that I think they'll hang around against the Bengals. And so that's why I'm taking the over on 12.5 rushing attempts. I also like his over on rushing yards at 49.5. I'm really giving you a lot of props here, but my favorite ones are listed on this beautiful board for my man, George. Henry, 87.5 rushing yards. Seems high. I usually stay away from these high numbers, but Damian Harris ran all over Baltimore last week. He had over 100 rushing yards against them. Looks like nose tackle Brandon Williams won't be able to suit up in this game. And Derrick Henry just ran absolutely wild against the Ravens in the playoffs last week. Last year, he had 195 yards against Baltimore last year. This is what they're going to do. They're going to run the rock, use the play action. I like Henry, 87.5 rushing yards, the over there. For my picks, bring up the picks board. It wasn't a great week overall. As I said, week 10 wasn't great, but hopefully, you know, the Thursday night props was a sign of things to come here for this week. So we'll take a look at the picks. We'll start with against the spread. As I said, I think that the Titans will have some success running the football with Derrick Henry. So I don't like Tennessee to win, but I like them to keep it close. So you can get 6.5 using our parlay calculator. I see 5.5 in some spots, but if you use our free parlay calculator over at ftnbets.com, you'll get the best odds possible. And I'm seeing 6.5 at BetMGM. Pittsburgh minus 10, same thing. 10.5 in a lot of spots. You can get 10 using our parlay calculator. I just think they roll against the Jags. Jake Luton has shown that he can't handle pressure. I know it's only been two starts, but when teams dial up pressure on him, he just can't complete a pass. And that's all the Steelers do is dial up pressure. They do it better than anybody. So this is going to be a tough spot. They're really good at stopping the run, although lately they haven't been, but they are decent at stopping the run. So I think that they'll stack the box against James Robinson and they'll really just dial up some pressure against Jake Luton. So I think that's just going to be a disaster. I know we didn't get the Steelers a couple weeks ago, but you know, with that big spread, but I think they win by double digits here. And then I have Atlanta 3.5. I wasn't on Atlanta 3.5, but again, it's just Hill. I just don't like it. I think that Atlanta's going to hang. I wouldn't be shocked if Atlanta won the game, to be honest with you. I don't have those kind of stones to put them on the money line, but 3.5 is one that I'll side with. I think they keep this game close. And like I said, if they get up in a big lead or up early, then they get away from Hill. And then it's Jameis Winston, who's known to throw a pick or two. And I'm sure that's why that Sean Payton's going with Hill, plus his ego. He wants to show the world that he has a weapon in Taysom Hill, and this is why he signed him to all that money. Over to the money line, speaking of money, I got Miami, New England, and Cleveland. I got the Browns beating the Eagles. No Jason Garrett since I put up this, got my guy George to make this prop. That's a bit of a concern, but it's mostly just because of Carson Wentz, and he just really hasn't shown us a whole lot. He leads the league in interceptions, and he's fumbled a ton, and he's just hasn't had it together this year. So I think Cleveland at home, and as you see there, the under 48. It's going to be a nasty weather game again. Surprise, surprise, in Cleveland, there's going to be some wind. There's going to be some rain. So I really like that under 48. I think this is going to be, Cleveland just likes to run the ball anyways, and I'll get to how much success I think that they'll be able to have against the Eagles' run defense. But I like Cleveland and the under there. New England, they showed me a lot last week against Baltimore, and you know that's another reason why I'm kind of on Tennessee here is that I got a lot of questions for Baltimore all of a sudden. It's just they just haven't looked good this season, and they're not even a top three team anymore for me in the AFC. I KC is ahead of them for sure, Pittsburgh's ahead of them for sure, and you know I'll put Buffalo ahead of Pittsburgh right now as well. Baltimore as well. They have a lot of injuries. They're dealing with some injuries. Lamar hasn't looked great. So I was impressed with New England last week. Yeah, a little bit of that was on Baltimore and the weather, but I think that they'll have a lot of success running the football against the Texans. We could get Stephon Gilmore back this week. I think he could shut down Will Fuller, and it's just that Texans defense is not good. So I got Miami over Denver, and really just diving deep into this game, I broke it down for the Denver Gazette. I usually write up the Broncos games over there at the Denver Gazette, a part of a partnership we have at FTN. And not going to lie, I mean, no disrespect to the Denver Gazette, but it's been depressing looking into this Broncos team and looking into Drew Lock. And, you know, Denver returns home after losing, back-to-back games on the road. They got outscored 71-39. They got absolutely crushed by the Raiders last week. They had five turnovers in that game. They lead the league with turnovers 21. They're second in turnover differential, minus 13. Lock threw four interceptions. He's had an interception in five straight games, and he's got more interceptions than touchdown passes, and Denver leads the league with 16 interceptions. And you look at Miami, they're fourth in the NFL in takeaways with 15. They're fourth in the NFL in fumbles recovered with 7, and they're fourth in the NFL in turnover differential plus 5. They've allowed the fifth fewest points per game, and they're eighth in pass DVOA. So I just think that they'll be able to do enough defensively, create some turnovers. They have really good secondary in Jones and Howard. And I just feel like Byron Jones and Xavier Howard will lock down Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick. And it's going to be tough for Drew Lock and company. I mean, they can run the ball. That's the way to attack Miami. They've allowed the 10th most rushing yards per game. But Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay haven't shown us a whole lot. Melvin Gordon is averaging 30 rushing yards per game over his last three, and Philip Lindsay has 25 rushing yards in his last two games, 12 carries. So I think that they'll try to run the football, but I don't know how much success that they'll have running the rock. So give me Miami. They're playing good. They've won five straight. They're 6-3. If they get a W here this Sunday, they'll be tied atop the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills. They look like a really good football team right now. Tua hasn't had to do a whole lot. He's got 5 touchdowns to 0 picks. He doesn't have a game over 250 passing yards, and he's only averaging 129 passing yards per game, but he's a perfect 3-0 thanks to the defense. He got into a bit of a shootout with Arizona. He proved that he can throw the ball down the field and get it done. So these are just two teams headed in the opposite direction. One turns the ball over a ton. One gets a lot of takeaways, and the other team takes care of the football. So I like Miami there. I think that they win in Denver, which is a tough place to play, but the Broncos are 1-3 at home. So that's your Broncos breakdown. Atlanta and New Orleans there, 49, the under. And because of all the things that I just talked about, slow-paced game, running the rock, defense shutting down Drew Lock and company, I got the under 45.5. So the parlay is KC, Pittsburgh, LA, Miami, and Baltimore. The teaser, the Chargers, it's a 7-game, 7-point teaser. I got the Chargers to win by a field goal. I got New England plus 4.5. I got the Packers not to lose by more than 8. I got Pittsburgh minus 3.5. I got the Chiefs just to win by 1. I think they get it done after losing to Derek Carr and company the last time they played the Raiders. I got Miami plus 3. I got Philly and Cleveland. I teased that to under 54. So even though I like the 48, can tease that to under 54 and get that at plus 700. So I will say this to proceed with caution, because the last couple of weeks, the picks have been okay. Last week, not great. But every time I have one team in there in a bunch, like either in a parlay, a teaser, kind of in the total in the money line, it hasn't worked out. I probably shouldn't be telling you this because I am confident in my picks. But that one team that I noticed that I have all over the place is Miami. Miami money line, Miami parlay, Miami teaser, Miami Denver under. So we'll see if we can break that trend, but Miami potentially could be that team that you just need to step back a little bit. But I do feel them. They're playing pretty good football. So on the way out, going to rapid fire through a few plays. If you're looking for some DFS content, Pat Mayo, FTN Live every Friday night, he hosted the show with Kyle Murray and Derek Brown, ran through all Kyle Murray's projections, gave you a little sneak peek there of how they're attacking the DFS schedule this week. If you miss it live, you can always go back and check it out over at ftndaily.com. If you're looking for more bets and more picks, all of mine can be found at ftnbets.com, as well as everybody else's. I mean, Kevin Adams is up plus 50 units. A lot of guys are up a lot of units. They're crushing it. Check out To The Window with Elliot Crisp, Ryan Noonan, and Noah Riddell. All of those guys, basically like plus 80 units combined. So lots of picks to be had over at ftnbets.com. If you're looking for a few more, use that promo code MEANY. It's only $99 for the rest of the season. You're going to get it all the way to the end of the year, Super Bowl included as well. So these are a few plays that I like in DFS. Just going to run through my favorites. At quarterback, I like Justin Herbert, Big Ben, Joe Burrow. I think that's a sneaky little game. Washington and Cincinnati. Burrow just chucks so much. It's hard not to like him. He's very, very cheap as well. You could go the other side of that, Alex Smith, but like I said, doesn't really throw a lot of touchdowns. Andy Dalton is my let's get nuts quarterback of the week. You know, if you're looking at Survivor, there's two teams that stand out, the Chargers and the Cowboys. The Chargers, you know, you'll always have to sweat it out with them. I think they get it done against the Jets. But I think that Dallas will hang around. I think they, you know, the bye came at the right time. Andy Dalton's healthy. Zeke had needed a week off, was dealing with an injury. They probably got some life seeing the Eagles lose to the Giants, knowing that the division is still up for grabs. Of course, it's the crappy NFC East, but Andy Dalton is cheap. And I'd like to pair him up maybe with Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup, as I go over to my wide receivers, is my value wide receiver. Let's get nuts play of the week. He's that deep threat guy. He's cheap. We saw him a couple weeks ago rack up double-digit targets. We still don't know who Andy Dalton's guy is because he's only played a handful of quarters with Dallas. But the deep threat guy in this offense is Michael Gallup. It's very boom or bust. He could get you a zero, but he could also blow up and get you 30 points. So I think a sneaky little play is Dalton and Michael Gallup. Running backs, Cook, Davis, Connor, kind of chalky, all of them, especially Cook. I don't know how you don't roster him. I think he's going to run all over Dallas, but I think the way to get off of him, like if you're playing 10 lineups, you have 9 with Cook, and maybe that one that you don't, maybe you go Cousins and Justin Jefferson or Adam Thielen. Like Jefferson seems to get 100 yards every other week. He's very boom or bust as well, but maybe it's just, hey, they air it out to Justin Jefferson a couple times, or maybe they run the ball with Cook and then Cousins runs it in or he throws it. So I think to get a little bit of leverage to come off of the chalk, I think it's a sneaky play to go Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins, or just maybe Jefferson in general, just to have him in one of your lineups. Or, you know, there's lots of different creative ways that you can get in there, Cook and Thielen potentially, because all of the offense could just potentially go through those two guys. But I think Justin Jefferson is going to get his, and he's just the big play guy in that offense. And Dallas has been just giving up a ton of big plays. But other wide receivers, or other running backs rather, that I like, besides Cook, Davis, and Connor, I think there's value with Geo and Ahmad. I know he's not going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield, but he's super cheap. He's under 5K. Bilal, same thing. Very cheap. Had 5 catches last week. They're not going to be playing from behind, so I don't expect him to be involved too much through the air. That's why I have his over 12.5 props. But those are just some value backs. I don't love them. I think if you can spend up at running back, you probably should. But if you're looking to save a little bit of dough, I think Ahmad and Bilal are better plays over on FanDuel. Adrian Peterson too, 4K. Not for everybody, but you're playing multiple lineups, you're looking for some value. A couple underrated maybe FanDuel plays. I like Harris still. I think maybe people will come off of him with Michelle. I like Derrick Henry over on FanDuel. Not going to catch many passes, but I like him over there on FanDuel. And I like Nick Chubb. I actually really like Nick Chubb this week. As you can see behind, I got my guy Chubbs there in support. But the reason I like Nick Chubb is there's a couple. I like the way that he got the 19 carries and the 100 plus yards last week. You know, he could have ran in that second touchdown if he didn't run out of the one, and, you know, he wanted to ice the game. But the other reason I like Nick Chubb is, you know, when you look at just in DFS and you see the opponent rank, you don't see a high one for the Eagles. And I think people playing DFS over the past few years have looked at the Eagles as a tough run defense, really, really tough to run on. And in years past, they were really tough to run on and easy to throw on. But this year that they got Darius Slay, they're a little bit tougher to throw on and they're easier to run on. They've allowed over 100 yards in 6 straight games. It's the longest active streak in the NFL. That's rushing yards. And overall, looking at them, they've allowed the most 20-yard runs with Houston, the most 40-yard runs with Houston, the third most rushing touchdowns on the season, the 7th most rushing yards overall. And much like the Vikings with Cook, like to run the football, that's what the Browns want to do too. Like, Kareem Hunt's going to be involved. Sure, he's going to catch a couple balls out of the backfield, but it's going to be a sloppy game. It's going to be hard to complete passes. I think Nick Chubb gets another 19, 20 carries, and he's probably going to hit that century mark, and he's going to be the guy to get the carries on the goal line. So I like Nick Chubb. I think he's going to be very underrated in DFS this week. If you're playing on FanDuel, I think he's a sneaky little play. So don't be afraid to play Nick Chubb this week in DFS. To wide receivers, I like Julio Ridley. As I already mentioned, my favorite wide receiver this week is Keenan Allen against the Jets. I like Terry McLaurin as well. Mid-range wide receivers, Justin Jefferson, already brought him up. Marvin Jones, that one's pretty obvious. I just feel like he's going to get a lot of work. And then Diontae Johnson. If I had to pick one Steeler, it's Diontae Johnson. Every game that he's healthy, playing from start to finish, he gets double-digit targets. Him and Claypool are the big threats, the big touchdown guys. Juju's a little bit safer. You know, I don't mind a full Pittsburgh stack, but Big Ben to Johnson and Claypool, that's my favorite. You want to get off any of those guys, you rock Connor. Under 5.5K on DK. Myers is going to be super chalky, but I like him nonetheless. If you're playing cash, I think he's a decent cash game play. Save you a little bit of cash. Brandon Cooks with Fuller potentially having to deal with Diggs. And then I mentioned Cooper and Gallup as well. I really like Jalen Reagor, if you were reading my FanDuel article. But with that weather, I had to kind of come off of him a little bit. But if you're looking to get absolutely nuts, Jalen Reagor led all wide receivers with in Philadelphia last week in routes ran and targets. And he was tied in snaps with Travis Fulgham. At the tight end position, TJ Hockenson, again, just feel like he's going to get a lot of usage. Came off the injury report on Thursday, so it looks like he's fully good to go because he was limited last week. He didn't play all of the snaps usually that he plays. Henry, again, just picking on the Jets. I like Darren Waller. I don't think a lot of people will pay up for him. Hockenson, honestly, is my favorite. He'll be in 80% of my lineups. I'll probably have one Waller and one Henry, but if you're looking for that value play, it's Logan Thomas. DSTs, kind of interested a little bit in Carolina and Detroit. I think there could be some sloppy play at the quarterback position. I think there could be a lot of points, but I think both teams will be chucking. And Washington, I'm interested in. They can really dial up some pressure. And the Bengals offensive line is not great. I know they're getting some people back. Jonah Williams, I think, is going to be back. But I just like a defense that's going to go after, going to be able to get some pressure on the quarterback, a team that's going to throw the ball a ton with a weak offensive line. So that's why Washington checks the box. Obviously, I like Pittsburgh if you can get up to them. And then Cleveland and Philly, like both of those teams. I think it'd be some sloppy weather there for sure. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Mean Streets. Again, thank you everybody to everyone who subscribed, rated, reviewed. Again, if you can do that, send that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Put your name into a draw. You'll have taken the first 50. I already have over half for that signed Jerry Jeudy helmet and given away that Allen Robinson signed helmet as well. That is FTN Fabcast for the signed Allen Robinson helmet. Mean Streets is Jerry Jeudy. Are you confused yet? Two helmets, two signed football helmets for you guys. Appreciate you as always. Good luck with all your picks, all your props. I'm Chris Meaney. We'll catch you next week. Cheers.